Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, every once in a while, Ethan Nicolais here with you. Once again, before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow Nick at Nick Zeraris, and follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Boys, it's been a few weeks. We got a couple trades. We got the 53-man roster. No waivers, but we are 1 week away from football. Oh, and we've got a lot of drama. Jihad, Hottie, and Aaron Rodgers. We've got number changes. We've got it all. Pretty much all you can ask for without any real football.
Yet, we're close.
Yes, 1 week from when you're listening.
How was your summer, boys?
Too short.
Yeah,
and also not over.
That's true. It's not over till next Monday. Monday is the official end of summer.
Yeah, so I'm chilling. I'm here in Connecticut. I was just talking to Weiss. I'm going to Toronto over the weekend.
I was just in Toronto.
Back to the beach, do some more fishing, and that's it. And then summer's done.
Labor Day.
What about you guys?
Big camping weekend for me, Labor Day weekend. 10 years strong.
Don't fuck up your calf again.
No, I want this year. Same spot, same campsite, 10 years in a row, same weekend. That's what you call a tradition. Same people.
That is a tradition.
That is a. You can't find a bigger tradition than that.
Yeah. And maybe we'll also talk some fantasy this episode, if there's time, because
I got so fucked.
I'll save it for the segment. We'll talk Giants first, and then we can bore everyone to sleep with our fantasy hubba bubba when we're done. All right, so where are we starting? Let's start with the trades.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with Isaiah Simmons. Weiss, you can go.
Low risk, high reward type move. I don't think anybody's complaining about what they gave up.
Nope.
The one thing that excites me the most is when you look at Isaiah Simmons, this was a top 10 pick, still young, 25 years old. There's clearly some unlocked potential there. And what excites me about this is there is now a track record of this coaching staff, offensively and defensively, but in this case defensively, that knows how to get the most out of players. Unlocking potential is just not as simple as, hey, I'm going to motivate a guy to play to his best ability, right? It's also, hey, let me put this guy in position where his strengths show and his weaknesses are hidden. And I think that's what Wink Martindale is going to do with Isaiah Simmons. A lot of it's going to be at the line of scrimmage. He's a fast dude. We all saw that rep against the Jets in the preseason where he almost had a sack. I actually was more upset that he didn't get that sack than I was the Hyatt play when he beat Sauce Gardner. But you can see just like in that minimal moment that what Isaiah Simmons brings to the table, a unique talent, size, speed, something the Giants haven't had. And again, I go back to it, this coaching staff, the track record of unlocking that potential, getting the most out of players, that should excite you the most about this Isaiah Simmons pickup.
Yeah. On top of the fact that Isaiah Simmons has never missed a game. So it's not like he's got any sort of injury record or any recurring issues that fans have to worry about. So that's obviously exciting. And then again, Weiss, what you said, it's high risk, low reward. You basically got him for free. And one thing that you just reiterated about this coaching staff that I have loved since day one, talent over situation. And it's why a lot of people were scratching their heads over a pick like Wandale Robinson. They're like, oh, he's a second round slot guy. Like, I don't really know where he fits. If you can play football, this coaching staff will find a way for you to contribute. And the same goes for Isaiah Simmons. And I'm very excited to see what Wink is going to do with him. He can play safety in the box. He can play linebacker. He can rush the passer. He's a freak athlete. It's everything that you want. Especially for a team like the Cardinals who have just been up and down and most recently just down and a dumpster fire. A guy gets a fresh start for a team that's up and coming, that should be competing seriously in the playoffs and hopefully for a Super Bowl in the next few years. It's a great, great Great situation. The trade gets an A+. There's no downside. I'm very, very excited. And I'm sure if you were to go back and listen to the past episodes that we did, Isaiah Simmons was probably one of our top targets that draft year.
The only downside is he's in the final year of his deal.
That's fine. You don't expect the guy to come in here and blow all expectations out of the water and earn like a 4-year, $15 million a year contract, you know, like great. Like it, and if he does, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
exactly. I love the talent. 4.39 40. He can play anywhere. From my understanding, part of the reason Arizona traded him is that he doesn't want to be a conventional linebacker. He either wants to be a pass rusher or he wants to play safety. He doesn't want to be a linebacker. So in a vacuum, if you're using him down at the line of scrimmage, and the thing that excites me about him is you can line him up anywhere along the front. And we saw the Giants a lot last year have 7-8 guys cheating down the line of scrimmage. And then at the last minute, guys bailing out, guys coming in. This is the type of guy where no matter where you line him up along that front, he could go or he can drop. And we finally have somebody who is a good enough athlete that can cover the tight ends in our division. We Fingers finally crossed. Have someone who can he at least talent wise. That's the reason this is no lose proposition, because this is the best athlete the Giants have had at linebacker in 10 years, 15 years even. Like, I struggle to think of someone, at least athletically. Skills-wise, you know, he's got to tackle better. He's got to get a better nose for the football. But the raw talent of a useful NFL player is there. He's only costing $1 million against the cap this year because Arizona already paid most of his salary for the year because most of it was a bulk signing bonus. This is awesome. Anytime you can take flyers on these types of guys.
And he's 25.
Athleticism. Exactly.
Yeah. So it seems like an A+ all around. The other trade, Carlos Boogie Basham.
Great name.
From the Buffalo Bills. This is, again, I feel like we've spoken about this before. This is where having a general manager who's well-liked
and respected. This is what you texted us. Yeah.
Who's well-liked and respected and isn't laughed at and can maintain relationships with other organizations such as the Buffalo Bills, where Joe Shane came from. It's a great thing. You have to think that if the Bills waived this guy, he would have been claimed fairly quickly, would not have reached the Giants. They get him for virtually nothing. Another guy who his draft profile was quote unquote freak athlete, underwhelmed in Buffalo, gets a second chance here. And the beauty of both of these trades is that, like, there are no expectations. Any sort of production is going to be beneficial to this team. The Giants went out there and paid a boatload of money for Bobby Okereke. And if Isaiah Simmons can be a contributor at linebacker, safety, whatever hybrid position he wants to call himself, then all of a sudden the Giants have a great linebacker group. Same thing with the pass rushers. Kayvon, Dex, Leonard Williams. Hopefully they get contributions from some of the depth guys like Jihad Ward, but you add just another body back there who's athletic enough and who hopefully Wink can coach up a little bit. And you might have some depth pass rushing there to back up guys who have suffered injuries over the last few years.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing. In today's league, you got to be too deep on the edge on both ends. You see what the Jets do, where they have the Jets are eight deep across the defensive line. Every single one of their guys has a backup who can play 30% of the snaps and it's not a drop off. San Francisco, same deal. You got to have bodies. This is so encouraging that the Giants have identified. It's not just we have starters who are good now. It's we have backups who in a pinch or playing 30, 40% of the snaps, they're not a liability out there. They're not going to be noticeably bad. This, like you said, they got Ward, they have him behind Kayvon and Aziz. This is a two deep pass rusher group now. That is something to be really encouraged about.
Yep.
One of the things I've been harping off about a lot this offseason was the Giants' third pass rusher. And I know people talk about Wink and blitzing and how often will they use him. The thing is that like Aziz and Kayvon, we can agree, are good pass rushers. They're not great pass rushers yet. Maybe one day they'll be great, but they're not great. So you got two good pass rushers, and the drop-off from them to the third guy was so massive. Like Tomon Fox and O'Shane Zimenez, like you saw, they got cut and neither of them got claimed. Right? They're back on the Giants practice squad. So that shows you everything you need to know about them. And what we saw, especially with O'Shane Zimenez, he was basically a zero his entire career. Tomon Fox as a UDFA last year was all right. But again, we talk about that drop-off, and that's why I think it was so important for them to go find a third pass rusher. And one of the things that sort of frustrated me a little bit was because there were guys available like late in the offseason, right before camp. Then you saw some of the money that was thrown around at them. I think, you know, Justin Houston was getting like $8 million. You know, Clowney was at like 5 or 6. And I was like, yeah, that's a little excessive. I think Leonard Floyd got like $10 million from Buffalo. So getting a guy like Boogie Basham, who A, Joe Shane has familiarity with, and Brian Daboll, another low risk, high reward type thing, cost control. You still have him on his rookie deal for another 2 years. And again, what do we talk about with Isaiah Simmons? Development. Ken Wink Martindale. Because let's face it, Boogie Basham was sort of a disappointment in Buffalo the first 2 years. That's why he was available. He was available for what he was available. I mean, the Bills basically gave him away. I mean, they did a pick swap, but they gave him away. And, you know, you have to see, can Wink unlock that potential in Boogie Basham? We talk about the athleticism. That's one of the things that's been key with this team. We talked a lot about offensively in the receiver room. But what they did on defense, man, it's all about speed. It's all about athleticism, getting faster. I mean, last year, their linebacking core was Jalen Smith, you know, and we just saw how finished he was. Landon Collins as well. Gerard Davis, just guys that didn't have that speed. Well, a year later, you're talking about more athleticism, younger guys, guys that don't have an injury history like those guys did. I think it's pretty clear. And if you look at Wink's history, if you go back to Baltimore, a lot of it's been athleticism. You know, a lot of those pass rushers, a lot of those linebackers in Baltimore was all about athleticism, all about guys that have speed, and you're sort of seeing it here with the Giants in their second year of sort of building this defense out.
Yep.
The one last thing I want to say on Basham, real quick. I went back and read a couple of different scouting things on him because I remember liking him a lot in college and wondering what didn't work for him. And what a lot of what I read sounds like the case of what I remember, that he's a really good athlete and just has no technique. The Giants are pretty good at coaching. So if in theory, if you give a guy with freak athleticism better technique, you're going to get better results. And that's something, you got 2 years of him too, like Weiss said. So you get two cracks at the trying to unlock something. Because you add another guy, even if it's only 4 or 5 sacks, 4 sacks from your third pass rusher, that's nothing to sneeze at.
100%.
Just to put it in perspective real quick, with these two trades, the Giants got Isaiah Simmons, Boogie Basham, and a 7th-round pick in 2025. They gave up a 2025 6th and a 2024 7th. So you give up a 6th and a 7th, you get back a 7th, and then two players that have some potential. They were high draft picks. So, again, you didn't give up a lot, and you potentially could, you know, strike gold here.
Absolutely. All right, we're done with the trades. Should we talk 53?
Let's talk 53.
Yeah. Let's talk 53. All right, Weiss, we'll start with you. Any surprises, thoughts, comments?
So I spent 2 weeks down in East Rutherford for training camp, and one of the things I will say about that is it is so much different when you get your own when you can get your own perspective on the roster versus reading on your timeline from various people that are there. When I was there, I learned a lot about what I think about the Giants, like what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are going to be. And nothing really surprised me in their roster cuts. Nothing. Darian Beavers looked slow throughout camp. He looked like he was working his way back. And Micah McFadden throughout training camp, they split reps on some days. But overall, I would say it was like 65-35 in favor of Micah McFadden getting first team reps alongside Bobby Okereke. So then you add Isaiah Simmons, and it's like, okay, that sort of made Darian Beavers expandable. Did I think they were going to cut him? Was I mildly surprised? Yeah, because he's a draft pick, and he was very promising last year. I thought maybe they would try to hang on to him. But it's not like he had this great camp where you're like, wow, how could you cut this guy? Jayshon Corbin, I mean, I know these are the two names that get thrown around a lot, but the thing about the running backs is, obviously, you have Saquon, you have Matt Breida, and you have Eric Gray, who's a draft pick. They weren't going to cut him. Between Brightwell and Corbin, it was about special teams. And Gary Brightwell can play special teams. So it's like, you know, I understand Corbin might have been the better running back, but when you start talking your running back threes and fours, what do we always say? Those back-end guys have to play special teams. So nothing surprised me there. The one thing I will say is I am surprised that Shane Lemieux made this roster, not over anybody that they cut, but the fact that they weren't claiming somebody on the waiver wire. I thought for sure they would swing for a tackle or swing for an interior offensive lineman when the 53 cuts were made, but it was surprising they didn't get anybody. Maybe we'll see if they put in a claim for somebody. I know they were 26th, but that was a little bit surprising that they didn't try to be shoppers on that on the O-line market. But the one thing about, you know, everyone talks about the Giants swing tackle situation and their backups. If you guys look around the league, that is a collective issue. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to say the Giants need a swing tackle, well, tell me which team has a consistent swing tackle. Like, you know, everyone says, well, we need to get rid of Matt Peart. It's like, okay, well, who are you replacing Matt Peart with? Like, I get it. You know, people want new, but it's like, is he an upgrade over Matt Peart? And then Tyree Phillips just wasn't healthy throughout camp. He missed a lot of time. So again, nothing.
And he's back with the practice squad anyway. So,
back with the practice squad. A lot of the guys that people were like, man, why are we cutting them? They're back with the practice squad, except Corbin, who signed with the Panthers practice squad. So again, like I said, it's nothing really surprised me. There wasn't a move that I was like, wow, we're really doing that. Colin Johnson expected. Again, just a numbers game there. So yeah, I mean, it's just pretty much the roster panned out. The 53 panned out exactly how I thought it would be when I left training camp. No real surprises.
I would agree. Yeah, I really have no comments on the 53, surprisingly. I mean, I think there's no one that was cut that I'm shaking my head at, and that's really it. I think the one thing that did stand out, and I'm trying to find the exact numbers here, is the 53-man roster from our good friend Bobby Skinner. 34 of the 53 are Joe Shane players. 18, Gettleman, Jerry Reese, 1. So in year 2, already about, 60% or so of the roster has been remade in Joe Shane's vision. Give it one more year, and we're cooking.
Well, if you look at the Giants' 2021 draft, which is turning out to be a all-time disaster, obviously Kadarius Toney is gone. We know that.
Well, Kadarius Toney is here in spirit in the body of
Darren Waller. He's a Giants hero. He made sure the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl, and he got us Darren Waller.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good draft pick in my mind.
That's a legend in my book, yeah. I'll forgive him.
Azeez Ojulari is here, good player. Aaron Robinson, I mean, been on PUP, didn't see him at all during the summer, didn't practice. Ellerson Smith, gone. Gary Brightwell is, we just talked about, the running back 4. Rodarius Williams, gone. Kadarius Toney, gone. So you're looking at 3 players left. The only impactful player is Azeez Ojulari. Aaron Robinson, just, I don't know if he's ever going to play for the Giants again. He's on PUP to start the year. And then there's Gary Brightwell. So, yeah, looking at how that roster turns around that quickly, start racking up bad draft pick after bad draft pick. Those are easy to replace, right? Those bad draft picks, those are pretty easy. Darnay Holmes, I was also not surprised he took a pay cut. Beginning of training camp, I was talking to Justin and Bobby, who were there with me, and I said, I see the Darnay Holmes situation, because Cordell Flott never separated himself from – never won that job. And the Giants basically put it on a silver platter for Cordell Flott to win it. He couldn't do it, to the point where they had to take him out of the slot and put him outside. So that showed you what they thought about him. So that's why it made Darnay Holmes a keeper. Was I surprised again they weren't trying to get somebody on the waiver wire? Yeah, but I want to see what happens after week 1 when those contracts are no longer all guaranteed for the year. When you go week to week with the player, if they try to get a vet in the building too. But if you want to talk about areas of weakness with the roster, I mean, slot corner, guys, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I know they're starting 2 rookies now, which, by the way, we haven't talked about Trey Hawkins. Awesome story.
Yeah.
Throughout camp, you just saw day by day that confidence building with him and with Jalin Hyatt. It was awesome to see. Hyatt was an explosive plays. We know what he brings to the table. We knew that. But Trey Hawkins, 6th round pick, It was like a day-to-day where you're like, damn, this guy's just getting better and better, where he had a better camp than Deontay Banks. Deontay Banks struggled really badly the first 2 or 3 days I was there. After that, he began to settle down. Hawkins, on the other hand, I mean, you just saw him in one-on-ones, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, just confidence building. To the point, I think by the fourth practice, he was getting first-team reps. And then, think about this. A guy that was a sixth-round pick is now solidified himself as a starting corner. We'll see what happens. But they don't even play him in the fourth preseason game. That's how confident they were in him. The other guy, Jordan Riley, you know, crowded defensive line room, right? We're all looking at it like, okay, we're excited about A'shaun Robinson, you know, Nacho's in here. We've got these vets. You know, we have depth behind Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. And Jordan Riley sort of emerges.
Just sits his chair down in the A gap and says, I'm not fucking moving. Yeah.
Those are sixth and seventh round draft picks. I truly think this could be one of those special draft classes for the Giants when we look back on it. I mean, these guys are contributing immediately. And I'm not talking first or second round picks, sixth, seventh round picks. And then Eric Gray returning punts.
No. I mean, this is where GMs make their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting those late round guys to contribute.
Sixth and seventh round picks make an NFL roster about 15% of the time. That's what we're talking about here. And to get guys who are going to play, that unreal, just unreal return on investment.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, I feel like we would speak about it all the time back in the day, but like Jerry Reese would never hit on those mid round picks, especially at the end.
And we'll never trade them either to try to get him.
Yeah. So.
I mean, like the Colts drafted Darius Rush in the fifth round and they cut him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be something that we don't know because he got all the way to the Chiefs
right
at the end of the waiver wire. So I don't know. Well, my point is
that this is a draft pick that got picked in the fifth round.
Right.
He didn't even make it to the 53. The Giants had Trey Hawkins and, you know, Jordan Riley look like, Trey Hawkins looked like a starter. To the point where you took your cornerback one and put him in the slot. Like, I want people to understand, this is not like a hype thing. Like, we're not sitting here hyping him up. Trey Hawkins earned that spot. Like, he looked like an NFL caliber cornerback. Like, if you had taken Trey Hawkins and switched him with Deontay Banks, the excitement around Deontay Banks would be through the roof right now. People would be, Giant fans would be just excited. But this is a sixth-round pick, and you just saw it, man, every single day. I'm very excited to see him in the regular season and how he does. Do I expect struggles? Yeah, absolutely. He's going to struggle. But the fact that you have a guy that doesn't look overwhelmed, that you took in the sixth round, contributing like that, to the point where you moved your quarterback one into the slot, now we'll see how much he plays in the slot. And I'm not trying to, like, say that that's, like, a bad thing. They're going to play three corners a lot. That speaks volume to how much this coaching staff believes in Trey Hawkins' ability.
Absolutely. Okay.
One last thing I want to get in on this topic about weaknesses. Having a guard rotation is not ideal. I understand that none of them have solidified themselves enough to kind of feel confident that two of them are their guys, but a rotation of three guys for two spots doesn't feel great. I know Zudu was a third round pick last year and he didn't play a ton because he got that neck injury. You hope eventually with more work he can solidify himself into one of those spots, but that and defensive back are really in my mind the two paper weaknesses on the roster. Other than that, you feel pretty good about every other position group.
Yeah, I mean, maybe wide receiver, but again, it's like the guys there are capable. Whereas at the guard spots, you're like, this could get a little dicey, especially with some injuries. So, but again, listen, this is a process. This is not the final product. Next year will be a much more polished product. And that's when we really expect them to go for it with some big swings in free agency.
They're going for it now.
Of course, but they're not ready to win it all. I'm saying next year, when Joe Shane has the actual salary cap flexibility to do what he wants in free agency,
Nick Bosa.
Dude, they're going to bring in like one or two guys that you're like, oh, it's real now.
Joe Shane's not scared, by the way. He's not.
Why would he be?
He's scared money, make no money. He said,
he's one of the smartest GMs in the league. Why would he be scared?
He will go for it. He will go for it.
100%. Just.
But he can read the room enough to know. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. He understands that they're still ascending right now. They have to get to another tier before they can start really like burning assets, trying to improve on the margins, getting more high end guys. They're still ascending. Like we've said for most of the last year and a half, it's about the third season because, like we said before, 34 of the 53-man roster is his. One more draft class, one more offseason. Then they'll be ready to push some chips in. You hope your quarterback has a banger season. Go ahead.
Can I tell you, I think he would have pushed his chips in this year if something was available.
Yeah,
He would have put pick the 25 on the table for something. If something was available.
I mean, we spent the entire summer with what? T. Higgins, Ayuk, those types of guys who you don't love as your number one, who are really good number twos. And I agree. I wouldn't trade a first round pick for either of those guys. But I think I agree with you, your premise. If there was an elite player that was out there available,
but
listen, I think Joe Shane would have done it this
year. But to sort of counter your point a little bit, Nick, those guys are what we perceive to be as good wide receiver twos, and they're good wide receiver twos until they're not. And example of that is AJ Brown, Tennessee, for what, a first round pick. And all of a sudden he's a dominant alpha wide receiver one. And again, the same thing you could say about Jalin Hyatt and their evaluation of Jalin Hyatt. You know, one, it's situation, and two, it's what he was asked to do, not what's maybe or maybe not in his skill set. And again, I have 100% faith in this front office and this coaching staff to go out and identify potentially undervalued players, or maybe even say, fuck it, put your chips in the middle of the table and go out there and get someone who's already solidified themselves as that alpha guard or that alpha wide receiver. So again, that's next season. I've been saying it since Joe Shane day one. After year two, that's when it's like, okay, this is a good, maybe very good team, but definitely at worst, they're a good team. We're going for it now. And I think once Daniel Jones balls out this year and it's like, okay, we've got a quarterback, we've got a lot of young defensive pieces that are improving. What do we need? We're spending, we're throwing draft picks. We're going to go get those established players and let's win it all.
You brought up Daniel Jones. He had a great summer. I'm not just saying that to say it. A lot of times when you get to camp early on, the defense has their way, but the offense from the jump just had the defense's number to the point where you got a little bit nervous about the defense. Like, whoa, is the defense really, are they bad? Because the offense was just jumped out at them. I think Daniel Jones is poised for a big year to the point where I may or may not have placed a $20 wager on a plus 8,000 odds
MVP.
Plus 8,000. Though I was watching the Carolina game, it was 8 for 9 touchdown. I was like, yo, this $20.
Yeah. Listen, at those odds, why not? I will say I will be drafting Daniel Jones in fantasy this year.
I already did.
I will be handcuffing him and Darren Waller. So I'm excited to join you boys on that train. So yeah, very excited for the offense this year. Very, very important year for, now I'm forgetting his name. Shane Tierney.
Shea Tierney. Like Shea.
Shea. I was close. Shea Tierney.
Yes.
Because.
Next in line, right?
Next in line. Because unless he dies or is in jail, Mike Kafka is going to be the first head coach hired this coming offseason.
What do you think?
I have no idea. Don't even ask me. Arizona would have been the easy answer if they didn't just hire that bozo from the Eagles.
Why did they do that? Why?
I don't know.
I think they got in trouble for it too.
Yeah. What? Now they're going to lose. I don't know. What was the GM or the coach is a burner phone? I saw something.
Jonathan Gannon reminds me of Tommy from Power Rangers, the Green Ranger, right? That was Tommy.
Or no, that was Jason. Your reference, I'm not going to understand, but Nick seems to. So you guys can riff on that.
Nick was the Green Ranger. Was the Green Ranger Jason or
Tommy? I think so.
It was one. I think so. Jason was the Red Ranger. Tommy was the Green Ranger. He looks like the Green Ranger. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah, I see it. That's going to be the worst. That's one of the worst rosters I've ever seen. Arizona is
They're drafting Caleb Williams. Like, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to wind up with, like, two wins, maybe.
They're drafting Caleb Williams, and they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. if they have their way. Arizona's they have written tank on their forehead.
Yeah.
Like, they just picked up their starting quarterback a week ago, right? Like, he was like the third string guy in Cleveland.
Dobbs.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, Josh
Dobbs. And then they said, we tried to sign him in March. It's like, yeah, okay. But you didn't.
Yeah. So, anyway, Mike Kafka's gone after this year, so let's cherish this one. All right, what's next?
Drama.
Fuck Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Listen,
you know, I
need to speak on this. Hold on. No. Hold on.
I was going to take my shirt. Are you going to take your shirt off?
If you want me to. It's not going to be pretty. Thankfully, it's audio only. But fuck Aaron Rodgers. Fuck Randall Cobb. Fuck the New York Jets. I am praying on their downfall. I hope that they are worse than the Broncos last year in terms of hype and disappointment. I want nothing more than for them to crash and burn. And I'm considering getting Garrett Wilson in fantasy. I have Breece on my dynasty team. I don't care. I want this to go up in smoke in a spectacular fashion. And you know what? That is my jihad. That is my holy war, is the Jets' downfall.
Too soon.
And
too
soon. You know what? I might have had a couple Cabernets. What's it to you? But you know what? The Jets are going to be a dumpster fire, and I can't wait. That's what you get for laughing at an illegal blindside block that's going to get fined, and none of them will ever find happiness. Them, the Jets fans, it's over. It's done. You don't fuck with Hottie.
The Jets are going to win the AFC East. I hate to break it to
you. They're not. The Bills are.
They're not.
Yes,
they the Jets are really talented. They're going to win the AFC East. But I'm with you. Listen, I think I get a lot of like this fake Tom Brady going to Tampa. I'm unleashed. Or I can be myself vibes from Aaron Rodgers. But it's like, bro, dude.
Isn't Nathaniel Hackett the offensive coordinator?
No, but it's like, dude, you were speaking your mind in Green Bay all the time. Like, you know how he stuck up for Nathaniel Hackett? And everyone was like, oh, look at Aaron Rodgers sticking up for his coach. Aaron Rodgers ripped Nathaniel Hackett his first year in Green Bay when he was going after LaFleur and Hackett. Like, that first year with LaFleur, people were like, he was always criticizing LaFleur. No. He was also criticizing Nathaniel Hackett. So, listen, Sean Payton said was fucking weird, and I probably wouldn't have said that. But, like, he's not lying. Like, what he said was true. Like, and for Aaron Rodgers to be like, keep my coach's name out of your mouth, it's like, dude, didn't you say the same type of shit both to the media in private and in open about Hackett and LaFleur? Like, come on now. Just because you like Hackett now, that doesn't actually mean anything. But anyways, look, the Jets, no matter what they do, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut is a Giants town. Giants fans will always outnumber Jet fans no matter what. I love trash talk. I have no problem with it. Aaron Rodgers, Jihad War, there's nothing wrong with that. They went after each other. The blindside block, he'll get fined. I just don't understand why everybody's up in arms creating shirtless videos in their kitchen. Like, I just don't, it just doesn't, it was a funny moment. I don't watch Hard Knocks anymore after I saw how they just made.
I've never watched Hard Knocks, by the way.
I mean, everybody loved the Lions last year. It was basically like,
yeah. Jihad Ward.
Stop playing that. It was basically
it's probably the only thing that he's ever done that I've like.
It's an infomercial now, Hard Knocks, and it's basically what it was for six episodes with the Jets. It was like an infomercial for people to like tune in during the season. I had no effect on me. Same thing with the Sauce Gardner, Jalen Hyatt things. Hyatt beat Sauce Gardner. Unfortunately, Tyrod Taylor threw the fucking ball out of bounds, okay? But he beat him. I don't understand why Jeff fans are so insensitive about it.
Okay, October 29th, you know.
I have zero interest in that game.
No, you, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Zero because it's interest. A fucking October Twice. Game for a team that you do expect you know, to be competitive with a crosstown rival. Stop putting up this veil that you don't care. And what I was going to say is that you know that Brian Daboll, because he's the fucking man, is going to purposely get as many matchups between Jalin Hyatt and Sauce Gardner as possible. And Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. And Jalin Hyatt is going to cook that Sunday gravy. And he is going to just destroy Sauce.
I really could care less about that game.
Wrong.
You know what?
You're lying.
You know what game is important to me?
Go ahead.
Week one.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what's also important to you? Week two. You know what's also important to you? Week three. You know what's also important to you? Whatever week the Giants are playing the Jets. All these games matter now. This is not Dave Gettleman's Giants.
The games that are important to me.
They got Francesa out of retirement for that week.
Yeah.
The games that are important to me are all of them. Games. Because I want to see where the Giants are compared to the two teams ahead of
them. You just
said
that you think the Jets are going to win the AFC East. A team with the Dolphins, a team with the Patriots, a team with the Bills. And you're saying that it's not important for the Giants to beat a team of that caliber.
First of all, I didn't say it's not important for them to beat them. It's important.
You
for
said
them to
you
win.
Don't care.
I said I don't care. For, I'm like I'm not. That's not a game. I'm like circling. Like, hey, I gotta make sure.
You should
sure.
circle every single game.
Oh come on, stop.
Every single game.
What I am looking forward to the most is the Cowboy game at the 49ers against the Philadelphia Eagles two times.
Okay, Nick, let's make us a little side bet here. If the Giants beat the Jets on October 29th,
I will make fun of the Jets.
There it is.
If the Jets are a disaster, I will make fun of the Jets.
There it is.
But here's the thing. I seriously speaking, guys, New York will always be a Yankee town. You Met fans know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to a Yankee game.
Yep.
It's an abysmal season, but there's 40,000 people in the stands. I saw it firsthand. The Knicks will always run in terms of the NBA over the Nets. The Rangers always will be over the Islanders. Like that's, even though you guys root for the Mets and the Islanders, you've accepted that. Jet fans have accepted it. Even the most delusional Jet fan, you know, I know, or anybody else knows.
I know some delusional Jet fans.
Yes, knows that the Giants are the dominant team in New York, even when they have dusty ass Dave Gettleman running the team, when they were a complete dumpster fire, they still were the more dominant team.
And you know what Yankee fans do when they beat the Mets? Hey pal, kiss the 27 rings. You know what the Rangers fans do when they beat the Islanders? Pop Vince sucks and fish sticks. It's part of the game. Crosstown rivals matter. They do matter. And I'm going to take every bit of joy when the Giants beat the Jets on October 29th.
I'll give you a great example. 2015, the last time they played in the regular season. Was it 2015? No, they played one. No, 2015. Yeah, they played in 2000 and I think 20. But this was 2015. Was it 15? Yeah. Yes, 2015. The Giants play the Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback of the Jets. Brandon Marshall's the receiver. The Jets beat the Giants that game. Jet fans ecstatic, right? This is it. What a special year. We're going to the playoffs. They ended up not making the playoffs. Do you think people still talk about that game? No. Nobody cares about that game anymore. They didn't care.
Talk about Cowboys-Giants games from 8 years ago? No, you focus on what's recent.
No, but I'm talking in terms of like that game's impact on the Giants season is far less than the games that they play against the three teams that are undisputedly ahead of them.
No one's debating that.
But that's my point.
This is about narratives. It's not about football wise. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
It's about narratives.
So we can fuck it. It's about narratives. Sports media is only narratives now. There is no substance. Have you watched television lately?
I don't.
It's only about narratives.
Oh, you know what? We're late in the year, but one of my New Year's resolutions was not to watch sports talk television. Not to watch First Take anymore, not to watch Undisputed, not to watch any of those other Diet Coke version of those debate shows.
Bro, I have Richard Sherman is the most sane person on that panel. It's bewildering.
I will say this. I think Richard Sherman, I would rather watch Richard Sherman and Skip Bayless debate than Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharpe about anything. about anything, including the NBA. But I just
skips the GOAT. So
I truthfully don't care about there. For me, I want to win. You know what narrative I want, Nick? Yeah. The narrative I want is that for people to say the New York Giants can compete with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. That's what I want. I could give two shits
about. You know what's funny is how a few weeks ago we spoke about what a gauntlet the AFC was and how many good quarterbacks and good teams are there. And now one of the best is on the Giants schedule. And all of a sudden you don't care about beating them. You only care about the division rivals. Obviously the division rivals.
We beat them last year.
Who?
In London, Aaron Rodgers.
Great. And now he's got a much better team.
That's why they're going to win the division.
Oh, my God. Okay. Can we move on?
All right, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I truthfully think that the Jets are going to the AFC Championship game.
It's possible, but once you fuck with Hottie, it's over.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's trash talk. I love it.
It's karma.
I love when guys go out. I'm very much against this whole lovey-dovey.
Me too.
You know, tag each other in your Instagram story. Like, I swap hate that jerseys. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I swap jerseys is okay. That's more of like a sportsmanship thing. Like, it's no. Okay.
No.
But like this whole
hate
like,
each other, hate each know, other,
brotherhood. Like, I mean, I get it why they do it, but I'm more about the trash talk, the rivalries, creating rivalries. I loved what Jihad Ward and Aaron Rodgers did. I got nothing against either one of them. Rodgers.
Me too. But now I got to take a stand and roll my guy.
I'm rolling with Jihad Ward too. Don't get it twisted. I'm not sitting here sticking up for Aaron Rodgers. I'm just speaking facts. Rodgers said, "Don't poke the bear," and threw an absolute beautiful pass. That.
Yeah, who was covering Garrett Wilson?
I'm just saying. Come on, man. Okay. It was a beautiful ball. That's all I'm going to say. Great ball.
They sent my man up.
It was Jamon Green, the undrafted.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking looking. I'm watching the game with my dad. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
This is Jihad Ward.
I was at the game. I had a great time.
Yeah, you're a sick fuck.
Second string offense.
I got the tickets outside, for free.
Outside linebacker for the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers talked shit to him. Don't poke the bear, Mr. Second string outside linebacker for the Giants. Vocal leader, because you pushed me.
I can't wait to talk about actual football. I'm so tired of this.
That's what I'm saying, man. My whole mind is on Dallas, thinking about how I'm going to celebrate if we beat Dallas this Sunday night. That's what I'm thinking. You know, thinking about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Come on, guys. Have some respect for your minds. Don't put that stuff on your mind.
What are we talking about next?
Jalen Hyatt wearing number 13. Ethan, your thoughts on that?
I love it. I love it.
I love
the man. The man idolized Odell Beckham, and now he's wearing the number.
I love it. I love
like
four, man.
It's like putting on the Superman cape. It's like Jalen Hyatt is now going to fly.
I loved number 84 in him. He looked good.
No, 13's way better. 25 better for Banks.
I hate these new jersey numbers where linebackers are wearing fucking 27.
Yeah, no, I hate
it's
that.
Like Isaiah Simmons wearing 19.
Yeah, what it's fucked up.
Jim Sorgi, remember Jim Sorgi, the Colts quarterback, wore 19?
Dude, when I see like, you know, it's in like when I see tight ends wearing 46, like I don't care that you can be a fullback, get a real tight end number.
Didn't Elvis Gerback wear 19 too? That Colts quarterback. I mean, just
dude, I don't know.
Just something. 19 is a are we as you know 19 the number 19 when I think of number 19 I think of like a third string preseason quarterback. That's what I think about, or a receiver.
I think of
like
Kenny Galladay.
I don't think of Brock Heward. I was thinking of Brock Heward.
Yeah.
Naming some guys, Todd.
Yeah. Naming all guys. Right. That's what guys do.
Fantasy. Jonathan Taylor completely not even Jonathan. Whoever the Colts completely fucked me.
Completely fucked.
Just sideways. I ran to the scores table to pick.
Yeah.
Or I ran to the, you know, draft.
The draft stage. Board.
Whatever. To pick Jonathan Taylor because I was like, going to Miami.
Oh, no. Drafted him?
Yeah, Michael McDaniel. Like, this is going to be great. This is like Christian McCaffrey on the Niners. Like, I got Brian Robinson, too. I'm going to match him with Taylor. And I'm like, this is great. This is what I want. And then the Colts don't trade him. And then even worse, they keep him on PUP for 6 weeks. It's like, what the
brutal.
That's why I hate drafting before the week before. Like, I always, so I'm my two.
You drafted too early.
Yeah, I hate doing that. I don't know why. They did it that way. And they did it at, the draft started at 10 o'clock, like a fucking West Coast NBA game.
Yeah,
it's like, I was like, what? It's like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, why are we drafting at 10:15? Oh, people are out of the country. Well, how about we just wait until they come back into the country when they're back on East Coast standard time to draft? We're drafting at 10 o'clock. My daughter's crying, wanting to touch my laptop. I'm mixing up, you know, I'm like, I'm about to draft Alvin Kamara and I forget that he's suspended for 3 weeks. And I'm, it's like everything is, she starts closing my draft board links that I had opened. It was bad. And then Jonathan Taylor just completely ruined my night.
Yeah, that sucks.
And he's on PUP. That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah, now he's missing four games.
The worst.
Awful. Well, my condolences.
Fantasy's a dumb hobby. I just want to say
it really is. It's stupid.
The most fun part is drafting the team. After that, it's miserable.
My quote unquote my home league. After every draft, we literally just all sit there and we roster bait. Like we literally go one by one through each person's team and be like, oh, give your thoughts. So yeah, you're right. The best part's drafting. Who are some of your my guys this year?
Sam Laporta, the Lions tight end.
Seek help. So my biggest my guy who, and I do auction, by the way, which is the real way to draft, not snake like you losers out there.
Not the regular way, like a regular human being.
What, auction?
No, they're the normal way.
No, it's not. Auction is just superior in every way, but I digress. The guy I am not leaving this draft without is Jahmyr Gibbs. 100% Jahmyr Gibbs. I think the stat is like of first round or like top 15 running backs drafted, like picked with a top 15 pick over the last like 10 years. I think almost all of them, except for maybe one, have finished top 10 in fantasy production. I love the Lions offensive line. I think they're going to score a shit ton of points. Gibbs reminds me of Alvin Kamara in a sense. And I understand that Bijan Robinson is super talented, but in terms of both ADP and auction price, the gap between the two is just too large for me to ignore. So if I can leave the draft with like a Chubb or Pollard and Gibbs as my two running backs, and then maybe someone like a Dobbins, who I think is going to have a good year if he's healthy, as my flex, allows me to have more than half my budget left for receivers and get Waller and Jones, and I can wind up with like Devontae or Calvin Ridley, who's another one of my guys. I love Calvin Ridley this year. That's going to be my strategy, and my draft is Tuesday evening when I get back from Toronto.
So I had one draft, and one of my guys is Chris Olave.
Saints, I love Olave this year.
Consistent quarterback play finally, Derek Carr. I think he's ready to have a breakout year, even if Michael Thomas ends up being healthy.
Even he's washed, but yeah.
I also really like Evan Ingram this year too. I think even with Ridley and Kirk, I think he's going to be a guy in terms of tight ends, right? Where it's a lot of consistency with tight ends. He's going to be a guy that's going to be consistent 5 for 70, 4 for 68, maybe a touchdown. I like that a lot. And I think can I give you guys something real quick?
Yeah.
Dark horse for the Super Bowl, Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Disagree, but to each their
own. AFC is too hard. I think Jacksonville definitely wins their division.
What do you need in the AFC to compete? You need a quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is my dark horse to be MVP.
He's not even like the fifth best quarterback in the AFC.
Oh, he's like the second or third. Third, yeah.
No, he's not, but that's fine. You'll figure that out eventually.
Better than Burrow. He's not better than Allen. He's not better than Lamar.
He's not better than Mahomes. There's your five right there.
Well, he's better than Patrick Mahomes, is better than him. Joe Burrow's better than him. Then after that, it's Trevor Lawrence at number three.
Wrong. What drugs are you on? Josh Allen? Are you kidding?
Josh Allen throws a lot of interceptions last year.
Oh, my God. Okay.
He had an elbow injury all of last year, too.
Oh, so he's injury prone, too? Oh, thanks for solidifying my point. Come on, I'm spicy.
Oh, it's good to be back.
It is.
I don't watch First Take. I just turned this podcast into one.
No. Never. I actually did draft Bijan Robinson too.
Okay.
I load up on running backs, man. I feel like you can get receivers.
Yeah. I think this year, honestly, like the dude, it really confuses me. And I think there are a lot of guys who fit that talent over situation mold. And two of the guys that I'd love to get late, Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, Tannehill can fucking sling it. He can throw jump balls. The issue is that they don't throw it that much. But now they finally have, like, that wide receiver back. I'm sure they regret shading A.J. Brown. But, like, Hopkins isn't going there to be, like, an 800-yard, five-touchdown guy. Like, and even when he did have shitty quarterbacks last year, he was still very productive when he came back from suspension. So between that and, I mean, listen, say what you will about Baker Mayfield. The guy loves to chuck a deep ball. He loves to throw it up. And Mike Evans last year, again, was super productive with bad quarterback play. So, like, any improvement in either of those situations, like, these are guys going, I don't know what they're going, where they're going in snake drafts, but in terms of salary, it's like 10, 15 bucks. Like, those are really great wide receiver threes. Hell, even wide receiver twos, if you want to go running back heavy early, at least in my opinion. So, those are two guys that I'm going to be looking for late.
I've won a fantasy league four times. Sorry. I was going to say I won four fantasy league four times in my life. All four times, when I look back on it, I racked up on running backs and high upside guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, got to stay healthy. You just drafted John Taylor, so.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, just drafted John Taylor.
Is that his guy?
That's not my fault.
Go pick up Kareem Hunt and hope he winds up somewhere decent.
I'm going to pick up Evan Hull, the backup
running back. Not Deion Jackson?
Who isn't? I don't even know what the Colts, man. Jim Mercy just
Anthony Richardson's going to be the running back one. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe I'll pick him up as a quarterback.
You should.
Him and Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Get that rushing upside. Anyway, Nick, you were saying?
Oh no! Just last thing on this, because I was very surprised that I drafted on like three different websites over the last week and a half. Chris Godwin was ahead of Mike Evans. But they all had Chris Godwin ahead of Mike Evans, which I found very weird.
I don't get it.
Godwin hasn't stayed healthy in forever, and Mike Evans has had 1,000 yards 11 straight years going back to his college days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Evans,
I don't get it.
Evans is a touchdown maker. He's going to be scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, big time. So I'm taking Evans over Godwin personally at the value.
And Daniel Jones.
He was a top 10 quarterback last year.
Last year in fantasy, yes.
Yeah.
He'll be top 7 this year. Dark horse.
At least. I think top 5 probably.
Yeah. They're going to run with him a lot.
Oh, yeah. And even if they're not, dude, give me those passing touchdowns. I'm getting Waller. I want that double dip.
Yep. I love the stack.
What about Saquon? You touching Saquon? When will you touch Saquon?
I'm not opposed to touching Saquon. I'm speaking from an auction perspective because I'm in an auction draft. Like, I just would much prefer the consistency of Chubb or the upside of a full year of Pollard at a lower price.
Last year I had Saquon and Chubb and I got to the championship.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Last year I ran to the table for Saquon. I just knew contract year.
Yeah, you were getting a discount last year.
Yeah.
He went late first.
Rent was due.
Snakes. Yeah, rent was due.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, again, with auction, it's like everyone's available. So if guys stop bidding on people, you get a good price. Yeah, I'll take Saquon if I can get him at a price I like. But I think Chubb is just so consistent. And Pollard, when he was getting a lion's share of the snaps last year, he was fucking unbelievable.
One other guy I took late that I was very happy about, Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
Buffalo.
Big time. If I can't get Waller, I'm getting Kincaid.
Talk about Dawson Knox, but this is a first-round pick. For a team that's all in, they know what they're not drafting Dalton Kincaid to sit behind Dawson Knox. This is
no way. And I'm telling you, don't sleep on J.K. Dobbins this year.
Monken's if he stays healthy, I love him.
Last year, I think the last four games when he was not even fully healthy, he was actually hilarious. I went back and I watched the highlights today.
Yeah.
He was limping and he was averaging 5.7 yards per carry. He didn't have his burst, he didn't have his vision, he was still good, and there was no Lamar. Monken loves to run like a really fast-paced offense, which means if he's on the field to start a drive, he's going to be there to finish a drive. And a lot of people say, well, Lamar might hawk some touchdowns. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but there's a stat that shows that running quarterbacks, their running backs still get, I think on average, like 15-plus touchdowns. So if Dobbins is the running back one, plus you hope for an increase in the receiving game, if he's healthy – get him at a good ADP, get him at a good price. He's a guy that I'm going to be looking for, absolutely.
Look at you, right, man. Fantasy expert over here.
Well, I've done 2 days worth of research, so don't crown me just yet.
Excuse me.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up. It's been real. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. You know where to find us. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, and we'll chat with you next week.
Peace.